Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. In fact, this is the second day of 2016. Happy New Year to you. Before I get started, and this show, by the way, is going to be a recap of how well I did on my prognostications last year. In fact, last year's shows are posted right below the New Year's shows. You can listen to them for yourself, and you can grade me independently of the grade I'm going to give myself today. And it's also about my forecast for the upcoming year. And we'll see how well I do on those a year from now. And to be honest with you, I hope I'm wrong on all of them. Unfortunately, that has proved not to be the case. So, number one, a happy, happy new year to all of you. My best wishes to you and yours for a happy, healthy, wealthy, prosperous, joyous new year. My best wishes to the United States of America, and my hope that this country starts to restore itself, which is only going to happen through the actions of you and I. Great things do not happen without effort, folks. You know, there was a saying, I believe, that George Bush had, freedom is not free. And if it wasn't him, whoever came up with it, they are so correct. Freedom is not free. It is an ongoing labor of love. It is an ongoing vigilance. And in this case, where we are now, it is an ongoing series of actions. Organization and action. I'm going to be sharing with you, as I go through this year's prognostications, a couple of little news stories that have come out this week, which are kind of chilling. I'm going to go into more depth on them next week, including gun control. You know, California now legislating they can confiscate guns, which I think will be thrown out. Confiscating no carry on any campus. Gee, let's create some more gun-free zones. That sure worked well for mass shootings and terrorism, hasn't it? Just unbelievable. Illinois has actually introduced legislation. You know, a progressive Democratic senator, probably being told what to do by Barry and Valerie up in the White House, has introduced legislation to confiscate firearms in Illinois. So you can see the progressive states are getting behind the drumbeat of Obama's self-proclaimed number one priority for his last year in office, amongst his other anti-American acts he plans to take, which we'll be talking about, and that is to take your guns away from you. Exactly at the point, by the way, when we all need them, because the federal government can't do squat to protect us from terror or to protect us from crime. And, you know, statistics be damned. Where people are armed, there is no crime. Where people are not armed, there is a lot of crime. And I'm not talking about gangbangers in Chicago. The majority of the population in Chicago, due to strict gun laws, is unarmed. So the bad guys have the guns. Gee, I think that's the same. That's the exact same thing we faced in every gun-related incident, whether it is Islamic terror, which is the most of them, or just some crazy loon like in the Aurora Theater deal. It's all gun-free zones, guys. These people are cowards. They're not going to go to a place where there's armed citizens. The best defense is offense. You know, I think it was Barack Obama himself who said, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. But now he wants to take your gun? Great. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about last year's show and what my forecasts were for the year 2015, just ended 48 hours ago. Number one, I forecast there was going to be a growing darkness not only in America but around the globe. I think I get an A+ on that one. I forecast that ISIS would grow in strength and that Obama would do nothing or little to counter them, although he would make a show of it, you know, like trying to tell us how many sorties he's flown, and then we learn just in the last 3 months that 75% of the sorties flown by American fighter jets drop no ordnance because they are told not to by the White House national security staff, you know, lying Susan Rice and disgusting Ben Rhodes, who, of course, take their orders from Valerie Jarrett from Tehran, Iran, and Barack Hussein Obama. Barry, our commander-in-chief, make me wretch. And we also learned over the course of last year, to kind of go further on my A+ for this forecast, we didn't bomb the oil fields for a year. We let ISIS keep getting money. The excuse of the administration was it would have created environmental damage. Oh, wah. And we didn't bomb Raqqa, even though we knew where all the command and control posts were in Raqqa. And we gave the intelligence to the French who bombed them after the Paris attacks. So for a year or a year and a half, having the knowledge, the Obama administration did not bomb the headquarters of our enemy. And then we learned that a lot of the bombs that were dropped in those 25% of sorties that were allowed were on empty buildings. And then we learned that taking out the oil tankers that supply those oil fields, American jets actually made four passes, warning passes, over these tankers and dropped leaflets so that the drivers wouldn't be hurt because, you know, they're all family men and we don't want to hurt family men. They really have nothing to do with ISIS. Hell, they were all ISIS fighters. I mean, it's one disgusting excuse and obfuscation after another. Again, Barack Obama despises the Western powers because they are the colonial powers. And he feels sympathy at the least for the ISIS fighters because they are the freedom fighters against the colonial powers. Trust me on this. This is how this man really feels. And this is why, without exception, without fail, without hesitation, he takes the axe and fails to take the axe that he does and has done so consistently. 100% consistently for 7 years. My forecast for 2016, more of the same. Oh yeah, he'll ratchet up the airstrikes a little bit, and he'll, you know, throw 50 special operators in over in Syria as if that's going to make a difference, and he'll throw money at this and money at that. He'll proclaim himself, you know, the big fighter of ISIS. It's all smokescreen. It's all smokescreen. The latest smokescreen being, well, Assad has to leave power so we can have a diplomatic peace. Whatever. All right. I forecast last year racial tensions would be fanned by this administration and would grow. I think we have seen exactly that. We have seen these black-on-blue assassinations, most of them, I might add, by black Islamists. We have seen a couple of reprehensible blue-on-black killings. I mean, there's two or three of those I've seen the video of. That cop should be hung. But most, just the opposite. We've seen the fans of riots and such in Baltimore, the continuing unrest in Ferguson. We've seen this stoked and fanned by Obama at every occasion, every chance he can get. And they're going to continue to do this. We've seen the growth of the phrase white privilege. We've seen Black Lives Matter. I give myself an A+ on that one. By the way, Black Lives Matter is the successor to Occupy Wall Street, which didn't work too good. You know, the left keeps trying to come up with a movement, all funded by Soros, by the way. Then we have, I forecast that they would make an attempt to go after your guns. And yes, they did. And even using terror attacks such as San Bernardino, which we have learned, if you listen to my past two shows, could have been avoided by the feds except for the policy of the Obama administration relative to social media, relative to their wonderful vetting of people who come to this country, and they totally miss Fasheed, you know, the terror wife. I mean, she didn't tell them the truth in anything, and they didn't check anything in this so-called interview when she came to the United States. Despite all that, they use terror as an excuse, and California is using terror as an excuse right now to try and toughen its gun laws, including in California's case, the articles are posted below, confiscation of weapons. I'll tell you what my forecast is for the gun battle here further on in the show, but I'll give myself an A+ on that one. Then we have my forecast on Putin, that Putin and the BRIC countries would attack the United States dollar, and sure enough, they are going all out, folks. Number one, Putin is assisting China in making the yuan a reserve currency. Had a show on this 3-4 weeks ago. The IMF has now added the yuan to the bundle of reserve currencies. There's only four of them in the world, Swiss franc and the U.S. dollar being the two primary ones. So instant international power prestige for the yuan and for China, to the delight of Russia. And Russia and China are doing all sorts of economic and energy deals designed to undermine the dollar and not being done in dollar-denominated payments. And Russia is getting in bed with Saudi Arabia and the other OPEC countries, which is the basis of the United States being the dollar. And they're getting in bed with those countries because of the void that Barack Obama has intentionally left in the Middle East. Yes, that attack, I'll give myself an A on that. I actually thought they were going to take further steps, but I think other things got in the way, but I think you'll see those steps being coming this year. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Okay, Putin. Putin himself. I told you he was going to test NATO. He wants NATO dissolved. He was going to increase his threat level, if you will. And he was going to try and do all he could to raise oil prices. You know, I'll give myself an A- on this one. He has indeed done that. He has kept up, he has turned the screws on the level of violence in the Ukraine. And, of course, America has done nothing under under Barack Hussein Obama. Barry, our commander-in-chief, make me puke. Okay, he has made threatening moves, including flying planes over ships on within the territorial waters of the Baltic states, who are members of NATO. Of course, you have this latest thing with Turkey and Russia, Turkey shooting down the Russian plane. Turkey is a NATO member, although probably shouldn't be, since it's run by an Islamist, who's a good buddy of Obama, by the way, because they're all Muslim Brotherhood buddies, don't you know? By the way, I'm going to have a little thing for you when I get into the forecast here in the last half of the show for this coming year. I'm going to tell you some stuff that's going on with these mosques and the Muslim Brotherhood, which Obama has helped infiltrate the United States government with Valerie Jarrett's assistance. I've been talking about this for years. But now I got a money trail for you, and we're going to go into it in detail next year. Next year. It is next year, next week. Okay, I told you China was going to test Japan and the Philippines in the South China Sea and American resolve. Well, you know, not that we have any with Barry running the show. And sure enough, here comes China building islands, literally building islands, so they can claim the 12-mile territorial status around them, and then putting air bases and military installations on them. And what was our response? Oh, yeah, that's right. Everybody clapped and applauded because Barry sent a single U.S. destroyer to the area. A single U.S. destroyer. Wow. Amazing. Okay. So China is on the march in the South China Sea as forecast. I'll give myself an A+ on that one. Europe drifting. Drifting economically, drifting socially, drifting in terms of its struggle with Islamic Jihad, drifting relative within the European community, relative to the southern European states, the PIGS, Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain. You know about what happened in Greece, of course. The banks shut down. Greece is broke. Probably going to be kicked out of the European Union. And the other thing that I forecast in Europe, besides its downward economic spiral, is that its demographics would be beginning to change more rapidly than in the past. And that would start changing the social and political structure of Europe. And that would start to distance Europe even more from the United States. And all that has happened. Now, to be honest with you, it happened at a rate even greater than I anticipated because of the refugee crisis from the Middle East, which, of course, Barry and company precipitated by not taking any actions in the Middle East, leaving the void, and then accentuating the problem with such incredibly foolish blunders as the Benghazi video lie, the red line in Syria he drew but had no intention of honoring and did not honor, and $500 million to train 5 Syrian operatives. I mean, you can go, the list is like endless. I mean, you can't, folks, I still am absolutely amazed. I can still watch, there's less and less of them now, and there's more and more people using the traitor word, the treason word, the indictment word. I mean, the people are awakening. But there's still pundits that I listen to on various news shows, both radio and TV, who talk about he's incompetent, he's inept, he doesn't understand, blah, 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 he's naive. No, folks. And by the way, yes, I still have my cold, for those of you that are wondering. But these people are, I mean, what does it take, right? If you get punched in the face 3 times by somebody, how long does it take you to figure out it's not some kind of neurological disorder they have in their fist and their shoulder? Really? Wow. All right. So, on the European thing, I give myself an A+. I told you about the debt crisis beginning to get even larger in Europe and American, and that it would start to kind of raise its head at the end of 2015, early 2016. Well, the debt crisis is here. I've done several shows on this. You can go back in the archives. In fact, there's a search bar right on the website. If you folks are listening on the website, if you're listening on AM stations, you can go to the On the Right Side, www.ontherightsideradio.com. You can also go to Facebook, by the way, On the Right Side Radio on Facebook, and throw a like at us. That would be great. We'd like your like. But you can type in kind of the keywords in that search bar, and those shows will come up for you. So if you want, you can type in consumer debt. You can type in unfunded liabilities. There's a number of things you can type in, and those shows will come up. But I had a show, I guess it was 2-3 months ago, where I explained the entire debt structure of just the United States. $60-65 trillion in consumer and corporate debt. $20 trillion in primary national debt. Medicare, Social Security, pensions, another, depending upon the economist, $110 to $220 trillion in debt. And of course you have the junk bond market. Much of that has gone into oil fracking companies. The price of oil is way down. Those companies are shaky. And the interest rates have jumped on those bonds. And the bonds are getting downgraded left and right. Then you have the student debt problem, over $1 trillion. The subprime car problem, over $3 trillion. And I can go on and on. So, the debt problem, folks, I was right on. The result of the debt problem, I am not yet right on. I'm going to give myself I'll give myself a C+, B- on that one. Of course, 2016 has just rolled in the door, and there'll be a lot going on this year economically. We're going to talk about that in the last half of the show. I forecast that Obama would spend money like a money sieve. He would find anything and everything to spend the precious dollars, all of it debt, that we have, and to drive us deeper into the hole. The Cloward and Piven scenario. As an avowed Marxist, which is what he is, as a disciple of Saul Alinsky, and as a studier of the Cloward-Piven theory, which is to bring down capitalism and a republic, you do not need a revolution, you just need to overburden it with financial entitlement. Barry, being a firm believer in reparations, retribution, and redistribution, not only within the United States, but from the United States to the rest of the world, has done his very level best to spend every dime he can get his little paws on, and he's gotten his paws on a lot, including this last $1.1 trillion, absolutely outrageous omnibus bill that the Republicans handed to him on a silver platter. And, you know, I forecast $20 trillion in debt. I think I'm about $500 billion light. Don't worry, we'll hit $20 trillion in the first quarter of his presidency in 2016. I'm 3 months off. And he'll keep spending like a sieve, particularly money to buy votes, your money, his votes, and particularly money to his crony capitalist friends. The deep state. If you guys haven't listened to my show on the deep state, type that in the search bar and listen to it. It was just 3-4 months ago. In fact, I read you the entire article, something I almost never do. Fabulous, by Doug Casey. All right, so I'm going to give myself an A- on that one. We're basically at the debt, but the bubble hasn't burst quite yet. Why don't we just say we can hear the air coming from the plastic, but it hasn't ruptured. It will. Be prepared. Read the family safety columns that I've posted here over the last year and a half or so. Okay, and then I forecasted they were going to be bailing out Obamacare. Gee, guess what was in this omnibus spending bill? Billions of dollars of your tax money bailing out the insurers who have lost money because Obamacare doesn't work. Isn't that terrific? Not only do you get to subsidize everybody's in Obamacare, you know, welcome to redistribution. Now you get to subsidize the insurance companies who insure the people who don't pay, who are in Obamacare. Terrific. Double redistribution. I wonder what they will come up for the triplicate of this. And then I forecast that programs under Democratic control, international programs, would be expanded mightily. Well, I can give you a dozen, but I'm only going to give you one. The Paris Accord, just 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, you know, the one that Barry told us was the way to really show those Islamic terrorists, oh no, I'm sorry, he doesn't use those words, the way to really show those extremists, those violent extremists, we'll have a great climate change summit, and that'll show them. Oh yeah, it was a great climate change summit, right? For everybody but the United States, right? First of all, he agreed that we're going to be in front of everybody else. I mean, we get to start doing our stuff now, and I'm going to talk about this when I get to the forecasts. But China can wait till 2030. Our main economic adversary can wait till 2030 to cripple itself, but we'll start crippling ourselves now while they continue to spew out whatever they spew out over there. Same with India. This can't be a mistake, folks. Trust me on this. It is not a mistake. It is intentional. Then, it gets better. Because remember, I'm using this as only one of many examples. You could also use the United Nations funding of over $13 billion. Number one, we're the biggest funder of the United Nations. Our great friends up there, you know, at the United Nations. And then The example that I'm going to use is the Paris Accord all by itself. The United States is going to fund $3 billion under this Paris Accord, which everybody agreed was non-binding, to undeveloped countries to help them, to help wean themselves off, to help take up the slack of them switching to alternative energies from fossil fuels in the midst of their fledgling economic development. Say what? Anyway, why don't we just say I'll give myself a straight A on all those items. The spending money, the bailing out Obamacare, the international programs, and the redistribution of American wealth, your money, folks, to others. And then I forecast that terror would spread and become more significant, more important, and rise to the forefront. With the Paris attacks, the attacks in India, the attacks in Thailand, the attacks in Libya, the attacks in Lebanon, the attacks in Afghanistan, and the attacks right here at home. More than 36 of them now, since Barry came on watch, including the latest one in San Bernardino, which he clapped his hands over secretly because it gave him a reason to tout gun control again. I mean, it just kind of makes you want to pull your hair out. Maybe that's why I'm mostly bald. Who knows? Anyway, terror did spread. Terror got more insidious. Terror spread geographically, and it spread even within the confines of the Middle East with, exponential growth in the numbers of genocide-related deaths, enslavement, sexual things. Look, you know what's going on over there. I don't have to recount it for you. Why don't we just say I give myself an A-plus on this? In fact, I was pretty convinced something bigger would have happened by now. Not that the stuff that hasn't happened hasn't been big and horrendous and absolutely devastating to those poor people who have been involved in it. But I'm not talking about, 300 people. I'm talking about thousands or tens of thousands. Do not underestimate what these terrorists who bury secretly in his heart of hearts identifies with. Do not discount what they want to do and what they're capable of doing. And of course, that would create more crisis, and he could exert more influence. Never let a crisis go to waste. More gun control, more this, more that. All right. Iran. I forecast that there would be an agreement with Iran, that Kerry would say it was wonderful, that Barry would tell us it would stop them from getting a nuclear bomb and it was our only hope, and that we would be saved from a nuclear Iran by his brilliant negotiating skills. I also forecast in 2015 a preemptive strike by Israel. Well, I'll give myself an A-plus on the Iran deal, and I'll give myself an A-plus on telling you how bad that deal was going to be. In fact, it's worse than I thought it was going to be, that I told you and warned you it was going to be. I'll have to give myself a D on the Israeli preemptive strike. The year is over and it didn't happen. Of course, part of that might be one of the provisions in the secret Iran deal coming out that the United States could almost be construed as to have entered into agreement to protect Iran from an Israeli strike. Wow. Unbelievable. Think about that one. You think that's a mistake? Or do you think that's an intentional choice? So, on that two-pronged forecast, I have an A and I have a D. Then, I come to some forecasts which I didn't do so well on. I told you oil prices wouldn't be staying low for the course of the year, that Russia and Iran and other countries, Venezuela, Brazil, desperate to get the price of oil up, would do whatever they could to do that. Well, 2015 has come and gone. They tried in various nefarious ways, but not like overtly. Not like Iran sinking a ship in the Straits of Hormuz. Not like Russia invading some oil field somewhere. Not any of that. Although, I think that could still happen. But it did not happen in 2015. And therefore, I give myself an F on that one. We'll talk about what I think about for 2016 in just a moment. And then, I forecast the dollar would be weaker at the end of 2015. And that China's currency, the yuan, would be much stronger and be moving to reserve currency status. So, a bifurcated prediction. Number one, the dollar was not weaker at year end. In fact, with all the chaos around the world, money flowed like a spigot into American markets, which is the only thing, along with ridiculous credit policies, zero borrowing, by the Federal Reserve that kept the stock market halfway buoyant, and the only thing that has kept interest rates down, the flood of dollars. Anyway, money flowed here from all corners of the world, the corners of terrorism, the corners of political and geopolitical instability in Europe, you name it. The result is the dollar is strong. I was flat wrong on that one. But it won't continue, folks. That, 100% guarantee. The when becomes the unknown. And I forecast as the second prong of that the Chinese yuan would be beginning to grow in stature. I was right on that one. In fact, to be honest with you, I did not think it would be allowed as a reserve currency by the IMF in the year 2015. It's actually done far better than I feared it would do. So I guess I got another bifurcated call here, an F and an A. All right. You know, I told you Obama would continue his attack on the military and military morale, both by not getting the VA thing done, by introducing all sorts of social left-wing social engineering stuff into the military, you know, diverting it and distracting it from its main mission, which, of course, they have done. Women on the front lines, transgender operations, you name it. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, dismissal of some more top military commanders. I do think, though, that the new guy, Orniendo, I do believe this gentleman is a little bit different. I had very little respect for the departed Joint Chiefs of Staff, the chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, that was Dempsey. I complained about him a number of times, a yes man, a political animal, a sponge. I think the new guy is different. I think there's already been a few clashes with the White House, and I think he's told them, you know what, I'm going to do exactly what I'm going to do. We'll talk about that last half of the show. So, I'll give myself an A on that one. I told you Afghanistan would start to blow up. You know, 5,500 troops, folks, is 5,500. Look, 5,500 troops cannot put down a well-organized, well-financed, well-funded, well-armed, countrywide, military-style, who-gives-a-damn insurgency. Particularly when the insurgents are all Islamist fanatics, jihadists. I mean, this is common sense. You don't have to be George Patton to know this. And sure enough, particularly over the last 2 months, we've seen a total deterioration in Afghanistan. It's lost its first major city to the Taliban since 2001. We had six poor guys from the Air Force killed the other day by a suicide bomber. There's been bombings in Kabul, all sorts of stuff. I mean, it's just going to get worse. I give myself, very unfortunately, I can't tell you how badly I feel for those 5,500 Americans over there. I give myself an A on that one. I told you that the progressives led by the White House, both overtly and covertly, would continue to attack the Constitution. You know, and that I kind of likened Obama to a successful thief. You know, he makes a number of great heists. He doesn't get caught. And when he does get caught, they let him off. And therefore, he's emboldened to make greater and greater heists. And that's exactly what's going on with the Constitution and Barack Obama. As you're going to see by the flood of presidential memorandums, which is what he calls executive orders to get around the executive order deal, or executive orders. I'll give myself an A on that one, unfortunately, again. You know, he's going to be more and more bold. And then one of the things I was unsure of was he going to have a compliant Congress? I wondered in that show last year if the Republicans, now that they had control of the Senate, were going to wait for those people to take office, the new senators that gave them a majority in the Senate. They already had a majority in the House. To enact some legislation or approve some legislation or revise some legislation that had been sitting on their desk. And I just didn't know which way they were going to go. Well, that's been answered. They're going to go Obama's way. The establishment Republicans, like Boehner, now departed, Ryan, it would appear, based on the omnibus bill, McConnell, for sure, they're, I don't know what they are. They're disgusting. I mean, they're just, it's just, I can't believe it. They might as well be Democrats. Funding immigration, funding Obamacare, funding Syrian refugees. 75% of this country does not want Syrian refugees coming here until the vetting system is fixed. They haven't even done a poll after the Fasheed thing in San Bernardino. She was quote-unquote vetted. Extensively vetted, according to our commander-in-chief. Yet, they just passed an omnibus spending bill that funds all that stuff. So I guess we have our answer. There's no grade on that one because I couldn't make a prognostication. I had my hopes, but they've been dashed. I forecast for you that the economy would continue to kind of dwindle down. I told you that all the job hoopla at the end of last year, the end of 2014, was just that, hoopla. All the jobs were seasonal jobs for Christmas. Guess what? I was 100% right. And guess what? You're going to see the same crapola this year. You already have. You've seen these jobs reports, and then you've seen the government economists come out. Oh, we're so thrilled. It's higher than we thought. Guys, girls, after Christmas, all those part-time people, which are now part of the jobs report, because Obama got that change, knowing that Obamacare would create many more part-time jobs than full-time jobs, all those part-time people are going to leave the workforce. They're not going to be working. Macy's ain't going to keep you on after Christmas. Nobody's coming down to buy the lipstick. So you're going to see, you know, you're going to see that those figures crater too. Normally, you know, you have what's called a Santa rally in the stock market. Not this year. I believe in the last 4 days before the New Year's, the market was up one day and down three. And let me tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. Manufacturing has dumped. Durable goods orders are down. New car orders are down. Existing home sales are down. Pending contracts on homes are down. Two notable exceptions to that, Washington, D.C., because of all your money that's going to fund more government, who's hiring more people who need someplace to live, and Denver, Colorado. Denver, Colorado, because it's gaining traction as a tech center. And lots of people are moving from the coast as they understand the security problems. This is not particularly good for Colorado in a lot of ways. I guess some ways it is. But a lot of ways, socially speaking, values speaking, it's not good for Colorado. And I talk as somebody who grew up there. Almost breaks my heart to drive down through that front range. Well, anyway, you're going to see a continued deterioration in not only the United States economy, but the global economy. One of the things which occurred late last year, which I did not forecast, I made no forecast on it, was China's economy hitting some speed bumps. This is all going to play out, folks. It all has to do with this debt thing we've been talking about. You know, it's kind of like the guy who's dragging this ball up a hill, this huge iron ball. And with every step, the hill gets steeper. And there's a little elf on top of the ball dumping more and more molten iron, you know, into the hole at the top. So the ball's getting heavier and heavier and heavier. At some point, the poor dude struggling up the hill, in this case, the global economy with like one of the legs and one of the arms being the American economy, he's not going to be able to take another step. He's going to collapse. All right. I also told you taxes would be going up. They did indeed. I'll give myself an A- on all that stuff. Now,